You're all set.
Okay, great. So, attendance, I see Dr. Potts.
Here.
Joel.
Here.
Matthew Moody.
Present.
Rachel Strife. Rachel? I'm present, but we're missing. Rachel hopped on, I'm not sure.
I don't see her on here.
Oh, I thought she hopped on early, just a few minutes ago.
I just saw Karen or Don that hopped in. I haven't seen Rachel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go and text her. She was, she said she was getting on, so let's just see.
We can still conduct, we can't conduct business reports.
We can do that. That's a good idea, Dr. Potts. We do not have a quorum, but we will go ahead and have reports, and the meeting is recorded, so those are, will be available for future reference. And welcome to all of our guests who join us each week. Thank you for doing, each month. Thank you very much for doing that. Public comments. Anybody from the public present or anyone who's present want to make a public comment? Seeing none. Given what the members have seen on the agenda, is there anybody who's present now who believes they have a conflict of interest in anything that we're going to discuss, including the attachment, which included a complaint about LifeWell? I don't see any. Okay, let's have updates from our community partners, starting with Dawn, who demonstrated an interest in Lily.
Thank you. I can't help it. I love animals. So I am speaking on behalf of Tyson and I. We have been preparing to, or having presentations. Hey, Crystal. it's Dawn.
We have been
preparing presentations for peer support information, and we wanted to offer the Access IOC members that presentation as well. It contains just more information about peer support services, some of the regulations and training requirements from Access, and so forth. So I just wanted to say that through the later, you know, within the next few months, if this IOC is interested, we will work with Frederica and yourselves to schedule. It's just a very light presentation, but we thought it might be beneficial.
Thank you. I think that's an excellent, excellent idea. I know the Auditor General's report last year raised some questions about training and so forth. And accountability, for lack of a better word. I know that different organizations were addressing that. So I think it would be great. And when I think, Larry, we should try to invite all the other IOCs and the ASH IOC, including the ASH, to join us. The peers are such a prominent part of the mental health, the SMI system. I think it would be great to make that available statewide to our IOC. So thank you, Dawn, and thank you, Tyson, for putting that together and for making it available to us. So we'll look forward to hearing that from you, and we can devote however much time we need. There may be other outside guests who would like to hear. I don't want to make it too big or get off the focus of your presentation, but I know that this area is one that's always of interest to people, from legislators to people in the industry and parents and so forth. So I think that would be great. And thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Holly.
Yeah, we'll follow up and make sure that we have, whenever you're ready to do it, we make the time and our agenda for it. Okay, other health plan representatives here.
So this is Karen from Air. Oh, sorry, Tyson. Did you want to add to Dawn's?
No, you go in, Karen, and I'll give updates for Mercy Care after Arizona Complete Health.
Hi, Karen.
Okay, hello, Arizona Complete Health. I actually have no updates at this time.
Okay, thank you. Any other plan before any of the plans other now, Tyson?
Okay, just I know I had mentioned during the January meeting that the Connections Conference that we host every year, we're going to have registration for members and other participants. That registration form is live now, so I'll send it via Frederica. Again, the focus is Central Arizona, so Gila, Pinal, and Maricopa County, primarily individuals or individuals who serve individuals with an SMI diagnosis. That's the targeted population. We do have several good speakers, and I guess because it's my first year with the health plan, I'm one of them. So, but love to open it up to anyone that the IOC may want, you know, might want to attend, or anybody that you would like to send that way. Again, the dates for the Connections Conference are April 11th, that's a full day, and then April 12th, which is a half day. And historically, the Connections Conference had a day for the provider community and then a day for our membership. We're combining that this year. So both days are open to providers and members.
Excellent. Thank you. That I hope some of our members can attend. We can we'll be sure and remind people in March about that. That would be great. And we look forward to having you give us an update and afterwards, and maybe if there are handouts and material resources that are you can easily make available, then that would be great to have made available as well.
Sure will. And then the last thing that we're doing that I'll have more information on dates is the OIFA team at Mercy Care is starting to host quarterly trainings around the benefit of peer and family supports to identified health homes across our network. And we will also be highlighting a peer family run organization during each of those calls. So the first one will be in April. And so in March, I'll be able to give you the dates specifically, but it's just to increase the awareness of providers of the benefit of that peer and family support service that can be available.
Okay, great. And we will put that on the agenda again in March. So, and it maybe Larry, is there a way that we could, when we get these announcements, that we can put those on the ADOA website where our the information on the IOCs is published?
I am not sure, Holly. I've never done that. I've never posted anything that's outside of ADOA, or so I don't think we can. But I can certainly ask.
Okay, and we can think about some other ways maybe to get that information distributed. But I'm really glad Access is making us aware of that, and thanks for doing so. Okay, let's see. Can we, who do we have yet? Is Rachel on?
I'll text her, Ollie.
Okay, I'm trying to see. We have, yeah, we need Strife. We need Rachel Strife in order to have our quorum.
She just joined.
Oh, good. Rachel. Thank you. Yes, she is there. Okay, wonderful. All right, so let's go to the there. Thank you, Rachel. We'll go to the monthly reports from subcommittees. If we have any, we don't have any site visit reports that I'm aware of, and we need to give some thought as to who is going to pick up those site visits. Josh, as you know, resigned. I'm still in conversations with him about a role for him, but we need to identify someone who would be interested in coordinating the site visits. And we don't have to do that tonight. I think everybody should think about it. And we need to identify somebody who is interested and can do that. IADs, Dr. Potts, do you have any updates on IADs and using your list of people who are supposed to be doing them? I know everybody is, has any, but I'll let Dr. Potts handle this item.
Well, I have not heard, let me ask, first of all, I've reviewed some. I have a question on maybe Frederica, and I'm trying to go through it. I have not received responses on about a half a dozen of the IAD queries I sent out. And I don't know if, I've got them listed. I'll list them. I can send them to you. Is that the best way to handle that?
Are you asking me, Dr. Potts?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm asking.
So, I have the responses. I've actually been out of the office most of this month.
Oh.
So they did submit them. I just haven't had a chance to get them over to you.
Oh, okay.
But they are here. So I'll get them to you in the next couple of days.
Yeah, okay, good. That's what I was wondering, because I got about 10 of them outstanding. Number one. Number two, have any of you reviewed any IDs?
I have not. I have failed at that.
Okay. What about?
So I got on at about 40. So the 6 days that you had assigned for SMI, Jack, yeah. Or that you recommended, I don't want to say that you fall and told me anything, but I did about 40 or 50, if I remember correctly, of the 160 for the 6 days. I didn't have anything that I was concerned about. I did have a question for you. On the hospital restraint ones, do you spend a lot of time on those, because they're very in-depth, and then most of the time it's like they threw something on somebody and they got restrained, so I didn't know how much time you spend on those
restraint ones. Frankly, I tend not to get overly concerned about the, the seclusion restraint, especially from a hospital facility. They have enough other protections. I tend to gloss over those. What one can do, as you may or may not know, you can check to see how many times that person has been restrained. You know, you can check on the Excel sheet. It'll tell you how many encounters that person had. Sometimes with adolescents, it's amazing to see them like restrained 30 times. Oh, but some of it's only for 15 seconds, you know.
Right. I saw they were like 2 minutes and stuff like that, which made me feel better that they weren't just throwing them in a hall for 10 hours or something.
So the hospitals is not an issue in my mind, 90% of the time, because they have federal regulations, as we all know. One of the IEDs we talked about last week was the one with the Gilbert police. And the place was not, sorry, I'm trying to get my video on, but it's not working. And I don't know, do you know if you've gotten any information on that one, Frederica, by looking? I think it's the, it's 2023-25556. It's IRF 2023-25556. that's when we all talked about the police having gone many times. Remember, folks?
Yes, yes.
Did a response come in on that one? Do you know offhand? Because I haven't seen again about dozens.
Yes, since you've been... did come for that one, but okay. Again, I've been out of the office, so I haven't had a chance to send them over. To, okay. But yes.
When you get them, do you have to redact them? And what's the issue? Like, I mean, could they not be automatically forwarded? Or
what do you mean by that? I haven't been in the office to even catch up on those. So don't need to be redacted. I just haven't been in the office physically to send them.
Gotcha. Okay. I didn't know if they could be, since I put the query in, whether or not they'd come automatically to me.
No, they don't come automatically. They come back to me and then I send them to you. That's always been the process. So yeah, I'll get them over to you. I'm working on it now.
Okay.
I'll wait. I have nothing. I have no feedback yet from the queries I didn't put in. Thank you.
All right. And so that's about 10, correct?
10 what responses I have?
That's about 10 reports that you're waiting for.
No, at least 10, more than 10. But some of them are just technical, like too much redactions, you know, or you know, so that's some of them.
Yeah. That's good. So that's great that there were some responses. And so it's good to know that that process is working, and we're glad that obviously we're glad that it is, and Frederica, we're glad you're back in the office. So thanks very much. So we'll wait for those for next month, and I'm going to make sure that I get on and do these reviews. If everybody can, that would be wonderful, because I think, as Dr. Potts' reports have pointed out in the past, it's a very, very useful way to identify some issues.
And so, I'm available, Ms. Giesel, I'm available to any of the members to call at any time, communicate if they have questions, they want to share one with me, say, hey, what do you think of this? Anytime.
Okay. Great. You're the designated mentor on getting this stuff done. Matthew had his hand up.
Yeah, so my question is this, Dr. Potts. You had sent out a schedule of proposals for who would be doing which portion. We have new people on the board now, so I'm wondering if we need to redo that.
Yeah, I have not received a list of the new members nor their contact information. Until I do that, I won't be able to do anything. But I don't. Maybe it was sent out. I don't know if Mr. Allen sent it out. But I need. You know, we all need to have that. Maybe I do have it, but I will update that.
Larry, could you send that to everyone that's on the IOC?
Yeah, sure. I can send the updated list to the group.
Okay, great. Include the new members, because I don't know. Joel's been getting emails from you, so you're good. And then Rachel. Okay. Yeah, if you could just make sure everyone has everyone contacted, and then we get a full count too, that'd be really helpful. So,
okay. Not a problem.
Joel and Rachel and everyone else on the phone, just so you understand, basically, there's probably a couple hundred or a couple thousand, Jack, tell me if I'm wrong, per month, and the plan is we're dividing them up. So I'm taking SMI from the first to six, someone else takes six to the 12th, et cetera. Joel and Rachel, if you want, I'd be happy to sit down with you or vote in with you and show you how to do all this stuff. Joel's going to be super easy for you because you used to write them. and then Rachel,
I need to recuse myself from this particular committee until the end of the legislative session. I can't. I'm not going to be able to read any IADs any time until this is all over. We've had some unexpected legislative things happen.
Yeah. And Rachel, don't worry. You don't. We all have these things come up. And so don't worry about that at all.
I have a question. You know, Crystal Fox, she's joining us tonight, for example, as an observer, and she also is on another IOC. Would she since she's on another IOC, be able to help us review these? I'm just curious. She would be good at it. She does a lot of these things.
That's a good question. The membership among IOCs is not interchangeable. That is, the fact that you're a member of one doesn't make you a member of the other, unless, except for chairs or co-chairs. But I think there's no reason that Crystal couldn't also be a member of this IOC, if that would be an interest. So we can talk about that.
Yeah, let me check with him as chair of the IAD committee. Why don't you let me handle that and see, because it's a good idea, Rachel, but I'll check with my peers and maybe with Mr. Allen and get a formal opinion on that.
Okay, great. Anybody else have an opportunity to review any IADs? All right, we will move along. Follow-up communication issues, Matthew Moody.
So Crystal raised her hand. I don't believe, tell me if I'm incorrect on the meeting rules, but she can't. Is she allowed to speak?
She's on another IOC. My understanding was that other IOC members can speak on our meeting, but not vote. I'd heard that last time, but I could be wrong.
I'll leave it at the chair.
I agree, Holly. I think it was anyone representing from their IOC who is speaking on behalf or coming from the IOC. It doesn't have to be the chair, would be an ex officio, but that's up to you. I see no problem with making sort of broader, because sometimes not just the chair can go to and attend the IOCs. Yeah. So that's up to.
I think until we get it clarified, my recollection from interacting with another IOC is that it's only the chairs. We will get that determined, and I'm happy at the end, Crystal, to come back and do a second call to the public so you can discuss something you'd like to discuss. We can't interact with you during that, but if there's something that you, that Rachel, that Crystal would like to discuss, I'm happy to do that.
If I may, we could also do a motion now to expand this, because it's a committee that can make decisions who would be ad hoc or ex officio. I don't know what the proper term is, but probably ex officio members with non-voting privileges, as long as it's not more than two at any one meeting. So we could actually make, that's how we passed the initial one before. It was not a bylaws change, it was nothing like that. It was simply a shared motion from all three committees that we accept an IOC representative as someone to be able to speak to an issue. We could do it now. Just a thought, Councilor, Ms. Giesel.
Is that a motion?
Yes, I move that we permit an IOC a committee member from other IOCs to be able to give input and talk on issues that are at hand, but are as previously passed and made for the chairs, i.e. not able to make motions, vote on motions, etc.
Okay.
A second.
Was there a second? Okay.
I second.
Good. Matthew seconds. Discussion. Larry, do you have any views on whether there's anything to prohibit us from doing this?
No, I think you're fine.
Okay, great.
Dr. Potts hit it right on the head. So.
Okay, excellent. Then what we will do is there's a motion. It's been seconded. We've had discussion. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any noes? Okay, great. I think that's an excellent move forward. And Crystal will definitely be an asset on that. She, just so the committee knows, she is a psychiatric nurse. She worked for years, retired from the Arizona State Hospital. So she's written her fair share and read her fair share of INDs and every other kind of report you can write.
and she is very knowledgeable about the general SMI system outside of ASH because she had a son who was involved in that system and tragically passed away earlier, late last year. So she's well known in the Mad Moms community and in the broader SMI community and at the legislature where she's testified several times. So Crystal will bring enormous positive attributes to her participation here. Rachel, that's a great idea. And thank you, Dr. Potts, for moving that. Okay, that's very exciting. All right, moving on. Follow-up communications, Matt Moody. I know you have had some activity going on.
So we delivered the two letters to Access and to the DOA. Thank you, Larry and Patricia, for that. One about the discharge medication issue, another one on the MMIP issues, I will call it that, asking for data. Majority of you were on the phone call when we had that discussion last time. The Access office, I don't remember if it's Frederica specifically, I'm sorry, Frederica, if it was you, asked for another month to get their answer together, and we agreed to give them that month. So they did reach out to us, I think, a week or two ago. So pretty quick response, asking for a little bit more time. So right now we're waiting until next month to hear from them.
All right. Have we gotten any, just to be sure, Frederica and Larry, have we received any communication from the agencies that Matthew communicated with, either, you know, from UPC or any of the other agencies? Just to be sure, we haven't gotten that.
No,
I haven't seen any information. Okay, good. All right. Let's skip down to new business. I'd like to, Rachel has just mentioned the legislature. I'm going to take things in a bit. We have community organizations always on the agenda, and ADOA and Access. I got ahead of myself. Larry and Frederica, any update, Larry, from the Department of Administration?
Yes, I do have an update.
Good.
You did speak earlier about the Auditor General identifying gaps in training and whatnot through the different agencies, and they did notify ADOA regarding the training and onboarding of the IOCs.
Uh-huh.
So, hence the training you received in your inbox this month regarding the boards and commission training, Law 2000.
Yes.
So, that is going to be an annual training for all IOC members. It's going to be done yearly, and it's going to be done upon when they apply. So, from moving forward here, probably we're trying to finalize everything now, but once everything's finalized, I will certainly let everybody know. But when the application comes in for an IOC member, it's going to be processed through our HR department. They're going to be given the EIN number, which will be a TRACORP number, for y'all to go in and do this training. So you don't have to go in and create a number like you're having to do now if you don't have a TRACORP number. So those are just the different things that we're identifying, that they're trying to get the IOCs up to the standard of the boards and commissions at the governor's office, identifying the gaps and bringing that up to a level set, so to speak. And I think it's really going to be beneficial for the folks that are coming in, for like Joel, Rachel, and Sabrina. that really haven't got into any kind of discussion regarding conflict of interest or whatnot. So it touches on the rules and regulations on that. I think it's a pretty solid training, and it's done with, it takes about 20, 25 minutes to get it done. You take a short quiz at the end, and that's it. So that's going to, so if you haven't received that training, please let me know and I can resend that to you. But we're trying to get it done, and the bulk of it, if not all of it, by the end of the month. So, it's an initiative that we're trying to get off the ground. So yes, sir, Dr. Potts.
Yeah, thanks. Would you do me two favors? One is personally just resend that to me because I did see it. It's buried somewhere. Okay. Number two, do we need to have, we should just register, since we won't get one of those EIN or whatever numbers are, we'll just have to register the time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And number three.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And that's not a problem. One of the concerns I've had, I wanted to bring up before, is do the an issue I have. It would be nice that when there are applicants, because the our application form is really very non-disclosure of anything. It'd be nice to get a resume and education and background, you know, just like a normal resume. I think, is that the standard for the other commissions, et cetera, that there's a little more information? Because the one we use is truly pretty minimal. So,
well, we do have a pretty robust application, and I do send out the resumes.
I haven't seen, our application doesn't require an attached resume.
It does.
Then maybe I've not seen that on some of the, when you sent some of those. Okay, then if I'm wrong on that, I stand corrected, because sometimes when we look at the applications I've received through the email, they do not have an attached resume or curriculum vitae. So if it's required, that's great. That's all I'm asking. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. And, you know, if you notice anything and something we're missing in the application process, please let me know, and I can try to get that added or changed. So we're always looking to improve and turn the dial, so to speak. So
thank you.
Is there does anybody else need the training that I sent out?
I will. I intend to take it. Okay. It's not just for new members, is it?
No, it's for all members. Yes. Yeah, so moving forward, this information is going to be done at the time of the application and the onboarding process. So it'll avoid all we're having to backtrack a little bit, I guess is what I'm saying, and trying to get everybody covered moving forward for this fiscal year. So moving forward for 24-25, then we can get that done on an annual basis. So next year at this time, we'll do it annually. And it'll be done, it'll be automatic, and you'll get a notification via email, all that. So should be fairly seamless, I'm hoping, fingers crossed.
Okay, that's great. Thanks.
So that is the only update for me. Any other concerns or questions?
I don't see any. Frederica.
Okay.
Hi, Holly. I don't have any updates. Just to, again, you guys already kind of touched on it earlier, that the extension that you guys requested, my leadership has that information that you all granted. So as soon as I hear something, I'll be making sure to send that out to you. And then just for some of the IADs, Dr. Potts, I am sending those over to you. Some of them still have a couple more days on the
great
update. So you should be receiving the ones that are due back and have been due back. Unless you guys have any questions for me.
And I didn't mean to pressure you, Frederick. I did not know you're not there. I just was making comment. Thank you very much for your cooperation.
Problem.
Okay. All right, we went back and got back on track from where I got us off track. Community organizations, Matt for MHA.
Yes, I have so many hats, it's fun. Okay, so we have our annual Seeds Conference on May the 2nd. So that will be the full day. It's at the Sky Song Center at ASU. We are accepting sponsors, and I think we've got all of our presentations in already. But if anyone else wanted to present, we can. We had about 250 people there last year, so we're gunning for a little bit more this year. We're also working with another organization called Mental Health Matters, who had a conference in September. And we are working with them to do a free webinar on March 28th for how to access insurance. So the idea is that anyone from any type of insurance, anyone from the community that has a family member or friend themselves that need understanding on how to navigate insurance, we're providing a webinar. Some of the people on the phone have volunteered to be a part of that from the health plans. And basically the idea is if you have no insurance, if you have commercial insurance or you have Medicaid, they will give you the basics on how to navigate that, and then more complicated things like advocating for an IOP when you might not be in the formulary for it, or if you need a specific type of medication, you need a brand name instead of a generic, something like that. We're going to have education on that. So that is happening on March 28th, and our Seeds Conference is May 2nd. I think those are the major updates for now. There's a lot going on. But yes, if anyone has any questions about those things, please let me know.
Okay. That's great. Mad Moms, Rachel, I want to come back to you just a second. NAMI, we need somebody appearing for NAMI. But we don't need somebody appearing. We need somebody who's interested in our work and who can report on shared interest and efforts. Rachel, you have some Mad Moms who are involved in NAMI.
I do.
Yeah. Let's just have a bit of a discussion here, guys. We used to have some NAMI reports, but then we haven't had in probably 2 years. I feel like that is a community partner that we should hear from. And so I thought about asking Rachel through her membership in Mad Moms to identify some folks and talk to them, see who might be interested, and include and see if we can start getting a report. Any thoughts on that?
I will reach out to my NAMI contacts. I bet we would get some interest.
Okay.
If that's appropriate.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is absolutely. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on NAMI, or are we good having Rachel take the lead and reach out and see what we can find out as to interest? Okay, we'll go ahead with that. Thank you, Rachel. So, Mad Moms update. And I want to combine this with under new business. We're going to go back down there. The update on bills that have to do with serious mental illness, our SMI system, the continuum of care, gaps in the continuum of care. The legislative agenda this year is full of SMI bills. The good thing is everybody wants to participate and be a stakeholder and introduce legislation. I don't know how many bills there are. There may be 30, 35 at least. I mean,
no, there's not 35 bills for SMI. There's might be 15.
I don't know, Rachel, if you look at some of the other areas, but in any event, there were a lot of bills that got dropped that are not being heard. By dropped, we mean filed. So, and they're not being heard. They didn't go to a committee, but a number have gone to committees. I think Mad Moms in about 2 weeks was at 14 or 15 hearings that I could count. It's amazing. It's just amazing. This is such a groundswell of SMI advocacy that we've all witnessed organically. It was created, it emerged, it's grown. And to think, and when I say Mad Moms, I mean 8, 10, 12 moms, 15 moms in hearing rooms for hours waiting to testify. They're there every Monday. They were in the Senate, now they are in the House. Senator Miranda read a Mad Mom story every Monday from the beginning of session. And these stories are heartbreaking, just heartbreaking. They focus on system failures that resulted in death, serious injury to individuals living with SMI. And now, because the Senate bills are being heard in the House, Representative Consuelo Hernandez from Tucson is reading the Mad Mom story. And so the Mad Moms are up in the galley to be introduced, and they stand up and they have Mad Moms t-shirts. I happened to be at court this morning today with an individual whose mom is a Mad Mom. This individual is living with SMI. He's doing extremely well, thanks to clozapine and a lot of inpatient things. He was so excited. He showed me the picture of him in the gallery wearing his Mad Mom t-shirt. He was so proud, and it led to a discussion about whether he might want to be on the IOC as an enrolled member. And he said, oh, well, yeah, I really, and he wanted to talk about the Capitol. So he loved it. And so I think it's just an example of how family activities at the very grassroots level, and somebody like Rachel leading it, just leads to so many interesting things. So she's on top of all these SMI bills. The Mad Moms had a bunch of bills that they wanted written. Jim McDougall wrote a number of them. Dr. Potts knows Jim McDougall very well for decades. And then Senator Wadsack, Senator Miranda, different representatives have all introduced the bills. And I just think it's so cool. And we are blessed as a committee to have Rachel and her folks reporting on what they're doing. And I think it's going to be very inspirational. And I'm glad, I hope our community organizations, our health plans, and everybody are still on, because it's a movement. It's like a movement, as the teenagers say. So Rachel, tell us about the bills that have been introduced.
How about, am I allowed to present?
Yes.
All right. Hold on, I'm trying to figure out how this works.
You can share your screen. You can share whatever you want.
Window. Oh, sorry. I'm new at this app. All right. So let me know if y'all can see this.
Yes.
All righty. You're right, Holly. There's a lot of moms, and what's awesome is that everyone is chipping in, and it is a movement. We have a website mom who's done a great website. Oh. We have someone designed this great logo. And we have professional community organizers now, someone that makes t-shirts. And I'm echoing, but I'll keep trying to talk.
No, you're good. You're not echoing too much at all.
So here's a couple pictures of us in the gallery and Mad Moms in the hearing rooms testifying. Here is the picture from just the other day with Consuelo Hernandez. This was our introduction in the house. We're wearing our Mental Illness Mondays t-shirts. These are widely recognizable around the Capitol.
Yes.
Every week we're getting more and more people. And the young man that you talked about is just one of the most, he's in the picture, and I'm so excited to hear that he's interested in getting involved. He's really a remarkable story, institutionalized for like 2 years. And now he's, like you said, doing great on the clozapine. This is just some, you know, after hours activities. There's Judge McDougall in the picture on the right, helping us with activities or with a lot of the bills. And then Senator Wadzak from Tucson's helping us. And she went out to dinner afterwards with us. So I'll just run through the bills that are still alive. I'll say six Mad Moms official bills that have some teeth and some strength going on. And then we're supporting another, I believe it's 11 bills, various things. So this one is John's Law, and this it requires screening and evaluation agencies to collect information from families. Right now, the family interview doesn't happen until you get a bed at ValleyWise. And there's no reason why it can't happen sooner, and lives will be saved when we do this. So John was Joshua Fox's father, who died in 2021 because Josh was released without treatment many times. And this also requires screening agencies to accept information from the family and then keep an actual log and record when they're not treating people. So really important law that we'd like to get passed, or important bill. 1311 is oversight in involuntary treatment. And it puts performance metrics, key data for collection to be tracked and evaluated, and start holding agencies accountable if they're not delivering services or releasing them without treatment, and all of the problems that we're having. So another important bill. One of the stories read for Mental Illness Monday was Griffin's story. And it was a horrific treatment of an individual at a Community Bridges screening center. And as a result of that story being read and the mother filing complaints, they were found to have violations and deficiencies. And what concerns me is that, what about the people who don't have a Mad Mom to file complaints? What about the people who don't have a senator reading their story on the Senate floor? Why are we treating people poorly? I'll just say it. Another bill that was going to vote on the floor today, I haven't heard how it went out, but this is a direct petition bill that Judge McDougall helped us write. And this allows, it doesn't change any criteria for evaluation, but it allows a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a psych nurse practitioner to submit a petition with an affidavit and that the person needs treatment. And this would effectively provide the first screening petition towards the next petition for court-ordered evaluation. And that will prevent inappropriate releasing from screening centers, prolonged delays at screening centers. And then there's other great parts of this bill, for example, requiring notification to guardians or powers of attorney if they get released, if the COT gets amended, things like that. And then there's another great part of this bill that allows a guardian to file something with the judge if their person is not doing well on a COT and might need some more help or need that COT renewed. So it's a great bill. SB 1609, this is a Senator Wadzak bill, and I call this one just do your job bill. The treatment accountability and SMI, we've got to get better at medications at discharge and not messing them up and giving people all the medications they need. We've got to start upholding standards for the peer support training and certification. There was an Auditor General's report that found that most peer supports were not adequately trained. There is, we'll call it discriminatory housing paperwork every year that a member has to fill out 40 pages worth of private health information or they risk losing their housing. And then the other part of this bill is automated quality surveys. If I go to urgent care or the dentist, I get a text message asking, how did we do, fill out this, you know, and I'm just imagining, did you have a follow-up appointment within 3 days of your discharge? Did your medications all add up? I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can do here to just ensure the system is working for the members. This one was my idea, and then Judge McDougall helped. When it comes to getting guardianship, families are really struggling to find a doctor willing, and a doctor that they can afford. And the state already covers, or the county, covers a court-appointed attorney for the proposed ward, a court investigator, and then the court fees are waived based on the ward's income. But the fee for the physician to do the evaluation of the alleged incapacitated person, this bill would effectively allow the county to enlist physicians to do this, this service for obtaining guardianship.
Rachel, if I may on this.
Yes, sir.
I do this on a weekly basis. Okay. And I'm paid by the county. There is already a mechanism for the county to pay physicians. And frankly, I have done hundreds paid by the county. And they do that routinely. They just do it. And so part of the issue is the attorneys aren't knowing probably how to request that, because I've talked to attorneys. But I'm just saying the system already exists. I can.
Okay, I'm going to reach out to you and make sure that we know exactly what we want to do.
Yeah, no, just a thought. Holly knows this too. The attorneys put in a request of funds. And frankly, I saw two people today that the county is paying. And I tell the family, you're not paying a thing for me. I'm independent. The county pays. Just as a thought.
Okay, I'm going to be calling you later, because that's
anytime.
Good to know that it so it can happen already. We're putting this in statute. Well, that's really good to know. Another bill that it's honestly a genius bill, and we didn't come up with it. It was actually from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, worked with Senator Wadzak, but it's important. And this is a $5 million appropriation of all tax funds that could be used for otherwise not eligible members for up to 3 months. And if you've got a non-Title 19 situation with SMI, you know you can't get a BRRRF or a step down. If you are, if you're needing a longer stay in a hospital, more than just 2 weeks, that kind of money's not available. But there's serious psychiatric disabilities that by any standards meet the criteria for ALTEX services, but because they're psychiatric in nature, get excluded. So this is an interesting bill that would appropriate some of that money for other uses, and I think it's great. There's some other bills that we're supporting that they're not official, you know, our six major Mad Moms bills. There's the Secure Residential Bill, 1101. It might get wrapped up into a different bill. There's a lot of politics happening. 1682, a Senate bill to remove the 55-bed cap at ASH for Maricopa County residents. The HB 2449 with a mirror bill 1083 in the Senate bans step therapy protocols for psychiatric SMI diagnoses, which my family member was forced to go through a lot of ineffective medications because they were cheaper and more convenient before. And that's what step therapy protocol is. And the prior authorizations are a nightmare for a lot of things with the psychiatric conditions. So that's a good bill. 1688 is a governing board for the Arizona State Hospital. 1578 is an interesting one. We'll see how it does. It defines substance use disorder as an eligible condition for court ordered evaluation and treatment. That's something that we need here. And where I see a lot of things happening is people getting released because, you know, from screening centers because they tested positive for drugs. And that's been a really unfortunate thing. 1597 is offering a diversion program for misdemeanor crimes. This is something badly needed in Tucson. I think we do a better job here. So again, don't know the fate of that bill. What, you know, it needed some amendments and they're working on that. 1678 was in committee today. I haven't heard, but this identifies individuals that are appropriate for secure VHRFs. This kind of goes in parallel with the funding bills for the SBIRFs. 1655, I think it got held for a minute, but this is Senator Hatafly's bill for in response to the access fraud that heavily hit the missing and indigenous folks, and she's up north and she has a lot of Native communities up there that were heavily impacted by the fake treatment centers treating fake people and the deaths and the missing people associated with that. So this was a bill for some accountability. And then the last one, hopefully it's going to get a lot of amendments and that are in progress right now, but it does have, it's an appropriations bill to help homelessness, which allocates $50 million to the secure VHRF facilities. There are some other things tied in that bill that needed to get addressed, and hopefully they're working on that. So we're learning that none of the moms are real skilled in politics or the political process. We're learning in trial by fire. But that's a summary. I'd be happy to answer questions. Maybe there's no questions.
Great summary.
Well, on 1103, there's about the governing board, also the state hospital. Just a couple of thoughts from my viewpoint in the Psych Society. And I think it's great to do this. I know a big one is getting medications. The proposal is 30 days worth of medicines from any discharge. And that's problematic from my viewpoint, just giving a different side on that, because 7 days is a mandate. They will see someone from the COT. 3 days is too long. Often you'll have problems with that. That's my...
Yeah, that'll probably go down to 2 weeks, but it really has more to do with they need those medications verified, including over-the-counter, as needed, before they leave the hospital.
Absolutely. We agree on that. We know that. But 30 days is probably, just as you say,
starting point. Yeah, that's probably going to change.
The other thing on the drug stuff, the literature, and there's some very recent literature on mandatory involuntary drug treatment. And like in the Florida law and elsewhere, it may not work. And frankly, there was a law passed a couple of years ago to say that if the primary diagnosis is in fact substance abuse, then the person is not eligible for COT. And I tend to agree with that. It's sort of like what we had to deal with the sexual predators years ago. They want to put all the sexual predators in the mental hospital and like, wait a minute. So they finally built their own facility for that. To put drug abusers, meth freaks, and those who primary diagnosis or issue is acute intoxication, taking up those beds from the seriously mentally ill is problematic. There's got to be other ways, but I agree. But they're interesting stuff. We'll see what happens.
Where a lot of these are starting the conversation. Just letting people die and roll off a median into the street and get hit by a car, which is happening every day in Tucson, is not acceptable. So I can see why Senator Wadzak is trying to do anything.
There's a just as a thought. Yeah, no, it's good. Thank you for doing that. There's about a Holly was right. I mean, there's issues on the mental health stuff. Psilocybin is one of them out there, you know, that mandating weed. So there's about, there probably are 30 that the Psych Society is aware of. Anyway, the one you said, the 1609, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And 1609, when looking at it right now, is a one paragraph thing about minimizing paperwork.
You need to look at the amendment.
Okay, so it was a minute. So it was a strike call. No, good.
It was a striker, Bill.
Okay. Yeah, and that's on, thank you, because the strikers are wild cards in this business.
It appears learning- to me that it appears to me that Lily likes 1609.
Okay. But you know, the bottom line is, Rachel, you're learning a hell of a lot about the legislative process. You know, they say there's two things you never want to see being made: sausages and laws.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. And thank you, Dr. Ponce, for making those comments. A lot of you may not know this, but way back in the late 90s, Arizona completely changed its legal, its whole set of laws and requirements for how we determine competency among individuals. And this has a direct effect on so many people involved in with SMI who are caught up in the criminal justice system. What is competency? How is it defined? What does it mean to be competent, not restorable, medication dependent, competent? And the guy who actually helped write the legislation and then taught the curriculum for the Arizona Supreme Court was Dr. Jack Potts. And so it was truly landmark stuff. And I think it's important when we're doing stuff today to look back and see how far we've come. There's a long way to go, but imagine not having a comprehensive program for courts to decide who's competent and who isn't and what to do. So it's this has really been a good presentation. Moving on, membership development. As I mentioned, we've long talked about having enrolled members in the SMI system be on the committee. I think that's essential. We had a couple of folks years back who were on the committee. I'd like to try and rejuvenate that effort. I'm going to try and talk to some of the mad moms who have kids who may be able to do this, adult kids, obviously. But keep, you know, for those of you involved in the peer sphere at Access and Dawn and you guys, keep this in mind. Any people that you have who are enrolled members with lived experience, we need them. We need their help. We need them on things like site visits and to maybe sit and review IDs with other members. I think that insight and that perspective is something we need. And this is kind of a year to try and build membership and capacity. And I think that would be great. Crystal, you have your hand up since you're a member of another committee. I'm calling on you. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I know in the other committees, Holly, I think it's up. A lot of times we vote people in, they're in the DDD different systems, but at the very beginning of every meeting, we vote them in as just participating members, non-voting, and we do that every time, and then they just join the committee or whatever. But I can also join this committee if that's easier for you guys, since Wednesdays are pretty free for me. So one thing I would one thing to think about is now that we're making some contacts in the legislation, I wonder if like having the REBAs come to these meetings and having maybe somebody who represents crisis, maybe somebody who represents as like guests, so that they can, like, as we do these legislation, I wonder how it would be to find out, like when you ask how things are going, you know, making any progress, if they could answer. So I'll let Jack.
That's a great, good points, Crystal. Thank you. Jack, Dr. Potts.
Two things. Number one, you aren't necessarily a member of this committee, Crystal, but when you show up representing your IOC, then you can speak ad lib. Okay, so you don't have any obligation whatsoever. And if someone else is chairing that way, this way, hopefully you will go back to your IOC and report, you attended this and we had these issues in common. So you have no obligation whatsoever, but just gives any IOC member from another area the ability to participate as they wish. So no, I think that just cuts you so you don't have to feel obligated in any fashion. It's always very helpful to have you here. And also the REBA point, all the managed care organizations are in fact represented here.
Okay.
Every time they all come, and that's who Holly has a report from initially. And they've been very good at coming and attending and telling us updates, is my understanding. So we have that to my understanding. Maybe I'm wrong, but we've had that for years, and I think it's a really good way of having the interaction with them.
So that's the insurance companies? Uh-huh.
All the managed care organizations? No, like, yeah, Magellan, yes, all the insurance companies, et cetera. Yes, Taro, Southwest Network, blah, blah, whatever they are. I don't know who the hell they are.
And they're the participation by the plans, I think Don has been here at every, mm-hmm. I mean, lots of the people who are here tonight have been faithful participants, and we appreciate that. Even they may not have something to report to us, but hopefully they may hear something. And when they go back to their organization, they will know, oh, well, you know, I heard about this group called Mad Moms or, you know, and I just think that's an informal way that our work is made known. Okay, we need social media like Mad Moms. We've talked about Facebook. We talked about, you know, Instagram, all of that. How do we find somebody to do social media? We can have an intern do it if it's an intern through a college or a university or school with an agreement with the state of Arizona, like for internships. I'm just going to put this out and ask again if there are, and maybe some of our organizations, our health plans, might have people who would be interested in working in a technical capacity as a technical consultant to put up our social media. It wouldn't be issues related to content or editorial. It's just to get it up and going so that we have the presence on the platforms that we know are very powerful ways to communicate. So I put that on the agenda. If anybody has any thoughts, please share now and keep thinking about this. Anything? I don't hear that. Okay. I saved a complaint that we received for last. The complaint came in through the Department of Administration through Larry, and I have attached it to the agenda. It's a complaint about recognition of guardianship status by LifeWell. Of course, it is a complaint. It is not substantiated. It's not verified. We shouldn't assume that this is any more. It is a complaint, period. So we need to take some action on that. I'd like to ask if there's somebody who would be willing to take this and follow up on it. And I know Josh Moselle is always willing to help on these things. Dr. Potts is an expert on guardianships. He testifies in them a lot. But this is one that I think is important, not just because it's a complaint to us, but because the issue of guardianships and the issues of clinic and health home and so forth interface with guardianships is a very hot topic this year. It's being discussed in a number of bills. So who would be willing to take this and tackle it? Or we'll assign somebody not here.
So Holly, I read portions of this email. Obviously there's a lot going on and that person's very upset. It seems rightfully so. What would that look like? What does, in the past, or Dr. Potts can answer this too, in the past, what does it look like to have direct contact with somebody and then to follow up on things like this?
Sure. You are completely free to establish direct contact, to communicate with them in person, in writing, however you choose, to investigate and try to sort through, tease out all the stuff that's going on, and try and get it down to the issue of whether there's a rights violation. And what if not a rights violation, and that encompasses all the rights of SMI set forth for individuals living with SMI as set forth in the Arizona Administrative Code. So it's a lot there. And then come back with a recommendation. What should
we do? So if I volunteer for this, I can go read the email, see if I see any rights violations. If I do, then we would come back and write a letter to Access and DOA and say, can you please look into this?
You would communicate with the complainant and try to get a fuller understanding. You're in, if she's willing or he's willing, get a signed release of records so we can request records, and that may not have been provided, and then come back with a recommendation. And if you want the complainant to meet with us to participate in a meeting, that's fine as well. We have fluid, sort of fluid procedures to deal with it once we get it analyzed. And Dr. Potts has his hand up. He may want to add something or correct me.
No, I agree. There's a couple of things I would suggest. As you see, it was sent to me as well. I had this person contact me informally, and I said, this is what you can do. And I'm glad that that Larry forwarded this, because we had that issue with the one before, which wasn't, and it was hopefully just a hiccup, as we talked about. So here's what I would suggest on this. I would work with you, Matthew, if you want. This is an issue that is not uncommon. We have dealt with this issue for years about guardians being ignored. I received a call from a very competent caseworker today with whom I've communicated, and I think it was with Liefeld, asking me, in my informal opinion, can she honor a guardianship from Michigan? And I then consulted with a lawyer. I said, yes, of course you can. They're fully honored here. Some of the clinics have a belief that if you don't have level one mental health powers, the family member or the guardian is not permitted to get mental health records or participate in mental health treatment outpatient, which is 100% wrong.
Right.
So my sense is, in this case, I think where I'd progress is, this is an issue. I think we could ask LifeWell for what happened in this specific case and ask for documentation. What is their policy with dealing with guardians in all areas? And I think what I would do is make a motion to that effect, that we formally, that Matthew and I formally pursue an investigation into this issue.
Yes.
And are authorized to then draft some question that would go through the chair for the chair's signature.
Perfect.
As a formal inquiry. That way we don't have to wait months to come back and say, well, yeah, we need to look at this, because we know this is an issue, and this may just be one of the ways we can now get at that.
Great.
So that's my motion.
Second. Anybody second?
I second.
Rachel seconds. We have a motion. We've already had discussion. We have a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 No? No opposition, so the motion passes. Yeah. All right.
Does anyone have questions as to what, you know, I think this makes sense, doesn't it, Matthew? You and I'll do that? Everyone okay? Good, I didn't want to.
It's housed under the follow-up committee is what we can say, but yeah, that's, I'll work with you. I'll email you on it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Excellent. Any more business that we should take up? Any new business that I have forgotten? Or anybody who from the public who wasn't here earlier and would like to have a comment?
I would suggest that on the, like NAMI, you have Mad Moms as a formal reporting group, just like on there, like you've done for the other organizations too. Yeah. Since we know we'll get a report every year, every month, I mean.
Yeah, that's right. And I hoped, I put them on because I think they're the new community organization of last year and this, and so it's wonderful. I also want to take just a moment to express condolences and recognition to Crystal, who's here. At some point, we will circulate to the committee and to all of our guests who attend Crystal's story with her son, Joshua, and who died by suicide in prison within 30 hours of arriving there from jail after being sentenced. With a highly mitigated sentence, but a sentence nonetheless for the murder of his father. And Joshua had been grossly failed by the system and then by not only the community system, but by the jail to which he was committed and then by the Arizona State Hospital. By the Arizona Department of Corrections. It's a very troubling story. And I think deserves a short story, if not a novel, because it probably epitomizes the potential in our system with loving parents and present parents and being in a system and so forth. I think the most telling thing was that the trial judge, who was one of the best that we had, said at the time of sentencing, I wish that there were another sentence, that there were something else that I could sentence you to, another sentencing alternative, but there isn't. I have only prison. We should never hear those. There should be alternatives. This case should not be repeated. And Crystal has spoken about it. She was a forming presence in Mad Moms, and I want to honor you again tonight by telling Joshua's story. It's why we exist. It's to protect the human rights of people like your son. And I appreciate you continuing to do what you do.
Hear, hear.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. And we look forward to seeing you every time you can be here, Crystal.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night. Thank you all for attending.
I move to adjourn.
Second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Have a good evening,
everybody.
Good night,
everybody.